You might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 13. And in our exercise, we were looking at chapter 13 in the light of all that lies has gone by and all that lies ahead into the tribulation until the Lord comes. And God gives us some help in understanding humans, people, why they believe, what keeps them from believing when Christ died for them all. So, in the process of that, as we have shared together, we reminded ourselves that God wants people to know. Absolutely. God expects people to know. Romans chapter 1. God expects people to know, to be knowing. And he holds them, everyone, without excuse. Now that's rather sobering. They have no excuse, no one. So when you come to your exiting, there is no excuse. God says there isn't any. So, in the light of all of that, and looking at that, and God wants people to know him. He died for them to know him. He paid for the sin of the whole world so that what? He could restore and the relationship and make it work very profitably. So, and we looked at, and Israel had a straight shot at God at Mount Sinai. They didn't want to hear God anymore like that, and they didn't. Except how does God do it? Since they rejected God's straight way, God sent the prophets, and the prophets brought the message. The prophets were the vehicle that God used in his most wonderful way to know him. And we share together, as we did in Matthew 13, John the Baptist and our Lord, etc., and the 10 and the 70, God, all of them lined up history went by. And what do? They preach the kingdom of God is at hand, and you need to repent. And he did all the way. So when we came to Matthew 13, we understand. Why are you speaking them in parables? Because they are not hearing. They are not hearing. We're telling them straightway, they're hearing, but they're not hearing. And some don't want to hear. So that's why we have Matthew 13, and as we do in verse 19, etc. So now, and we looked at that also to remind ourselves, the city. City was God's avenue. It was the world's avenue to avoid God and God. The system was corrupt. And all the world system was corrupt back in Genesis and chapter 6 and chapter 11. It's corrupt. And God, in his wonderful grace, goes and seeks to help them. So what are they doing? They're building a city and a tower. They're building cities and towers, politics and religion, and they're having their own government, and they have their own gods. Their own government and their own gods, and they've got them. Now, keeping that in front of you, if you would, and so here comes, and we have all this going down the corridor. So the whole system, the world system, resting in darkness, the authority and power of the whole world system is the devil himself. He's the boss of the whole thing, as you would know from Matthew 4, etc. Now, and so having said that, here's the cities. And the cities are there all the way. And when we went, and you can do that just to turn your Bible a bit, I guess, over to Revelation 18. Going to Babylon and Babel, all the way, as you know, and you already can guess it. you know it anyway. And when you come to the end, before end of the tribulation, and you have to go to the end of the tribulation and all that's happening in the tribulation, and you're keeping in mind chapter 17 and verse 1, and they came out of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made them made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, the politics and the religion come together, and down and the dominating power, you would think it would be the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is going to be. He's the top. But in the process of getting to that power and rising to that power, you use the system. You use the system. And thus, chapter 17, verse 5, and speaking of her, I'll read verse 7, verse 4. 17:4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of a fornication. Verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, and that the devil uses, the religious system, to gain power over all the people, the tower in the city. You got to have city, but you got to allow the religious part in some form or fashion. Coming up, you just think of the electronic world, artificial intelligence and all of that. That's coming in. And the world's going to be telling us how to go, like religion. And have faith. Have faith in what? Have faith in the system. And so therefore, that system rises. And in the process, the devil uses it. And ultimately, as you know in chapter 17, he eliminates it. He doesn't need it anymore. And he eliminates the whole council, world churches and everything. The whole thing is eradicated. Wow. Now, and sliding down, when you come to the end of chapter 17, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Sliding down to chapter 18, the politic part, chapter 18, verse 10, standing afar off, and for the fear of her torment, saying, I've got to read verse 9 anyway. And the kings of the earth, 18:9, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her. Remember what you read over in chapter 17, verse 5. Chapter 18, verse 9. And lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, how do you classify the tower and the city? Like Babel, verse 10. Alas, alas, verse 10, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So God is going to go in his marvelous way and let all of it work itself out. And that's what's happening. So you want to know why people don't believe, why people are going to do what they do. You'd think they'd fix things, but they don't. And why don't they? So therefore, as we share together, therefore we looked at the God's word in chapter Matthew 17 again. And in Matthew chapter 17, picking up, please. And 19 we'd shared together. And when anyone heareth. In other words, the people are all over. Not everyone hears the word of God. People all over They hear all kinds of things. Sometime they hear directly the word, a track, a message or something. Verse 19, when anyone heareth, when anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, then cometh the wicked one and catches the way that which he has sown in his heart, and this is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. So now, here's the first type of four types of ground, and we shared together last time, keeping in mind the seed is sown as a sower would sow, and if you've ever seen that done or have done it yourself. And some of the seed goes everywhere, depending on what you're sowing. And the seed goes on the good ground where well-traveled highway, which walkway, and so there, it's very trampled down, like the road. Seed gets onto the road. And the seed isn't going to go anywhere. It's on the road. Now, that's what are you saying, God? The heart is like that. It's traveling down and filled with all kinds. It's the busyness of the world. And the world is very, very busy. I'm very, very busy in the world, doing what I do, as I do. I'm busy, busy, busy. And here comes the seed. And back, I'll use my little seed package. And here comes the seed down on the ground. And the seed, it lands on top of my heart. It's where it's sitting, on top of my heart. Here it is. Now, it isn't going to get in here. It's just right here. So now here it is. And the devil, and let me finish the sentence, up in verse 19. Then cometh the wicked one and catches away. He thrusts away. He goes and takes it sudden, to cast, to do something very suddenly, quickly, very quickly. He goes and takes the seed, the system. In other words, I'm busy doing what I'm doing, and I hear 100 things, and as I hear them, and here's what I heard, the Bible. Here's a word from God's word. Like everything, my busy life, it just disappears. And the world system, under the God of this world, it's all gone. As quickly as it fell, as quickly as it goes. That's the world system you live in. And thus, therefore, and since men understand, live in darkness and hate light, since therefore they're going to do that, and the unbelieving world is going to stay in darkness, in fact, it says that. Not only is the devil the king, the ruler of the kingdom of darkness, but it says in John 3, etc., 19, 20, and they love darkness. The world loves darkness rather than light. Why do they love darkness? Because their deeds are evil, and they don't want to be exposed. So that's why they're in darkness, and they love it. They don't want to be exposed. You're saying, I'm a sinner. I don't want to hear that. Before, I don't mind religiously, I'll talk about it. But before God, I don't want to have to think about that. So therefore, the king was that which was sown in the heart, verse 19, is taken away just as fast as it seemed to have got there. And this is he that receiveth seed by the wayside. So the world system goes and does what it does, and the devil's going to go and protect his world system, his authority, and his territory of darkness. You cannot allow the seeds to flourish in the world of darkness. Unacceptable. That's why the world system, politic, religion, basically, fully, leaves the personal presence of God out of the picture completely. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and where to go and have faith and look to God. Over, if I can, right where you're nearby, over to chapter 7, reminding yourself, as we did. And in chapter 7, keeping, God tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, etc. Chapter 7, and in verse 13, enter ye into the strait gate, strait, now pressure, strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow, it's very narrow, and the word strait means compressed. The broad way is very loose. You can believe whatever. You can be a super duper zealous believer on the broad way, or you can be a doing nothing believer, or not even believe. You don't have to believe. It's a way that allows anything and everything. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one. No one. No one. Narrow, compressed. And boy, who wants to go down that little road in that narrow corridor? They don't want to do that. No, they don't. They don't want to do that. Straight and narrow is the way. Now, having said that, so here's the busy world in which we live, and in the process, and the devil comes along, catches away, present tense, the seed, snatches it away by force, suddenly, and therefore the seed's all gone, and so the ground, therefore, is like the soil, this ground, the soil, is like the, in verse 19, is very hard, impenetrable seed. There's no way the seed can go anywhere. You can drop the seed 1,000 times. It can't go anywhere. Drop a whole truckload of seed on the highway. It won't do anything. It won't do anything because it's hard ground. Now, having said that, verse 20, over to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, verse 20. Now that's the first type of ground. That's the normal, think of the whole nations, the religious people across the world. There's nowhere, it's very hard to find the truth, the Word of God finding its home alive and well. It just isn't doing that. And so therefore, the seed, and here's the little New Testament, the seed is in the Testament, the seed. And when the seed finds good ground, it fulfills this. Now let me do that. That's the first ground. What's the second type? The second type is when, verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed unto stony grounds. The word stony means a rock, stone. In other words, if you want, now the first one is because the ground is a highway where everyone's moving. This is just a nice big flat rock out in the field where no one's walking. And here's the heart, not busy in the world, just a heart minding its own business and is sitting there, and the heart is like a big rock, stone, rock or stone, that's what the word is, a stone. Now, if the seed falls in that, it isn't well-traveled, and it isn't easy to lose it. The seed sits there because there's nothing going on. It sits on top of the rock. It sits there. And depending on substance, things that's dirt and different things that can be on top of rock, the seed finds a little, seed's busy, wants to live, so the seed finds a little fluff of something and starts to try to grow, starts to try to do something. It can't do too much because it's on a rock. It can't go anywhere. So therefore, in verse 20, he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, that's an old word, that means suddenly, quickly, quick, speed. I'll read it then. But he that receiveth the seed in the stony grounds, the same as he that heareth the word, and speedily, quickly, what's he do? With joy he receiveth it. So it falls on the ground, here's the rock, and here's the seed falls on the ground. And in the process, joy, it's there. In other words, I'm living my life, I hear all about exciting things. I can believe in the Lord Jesus, I'm going to go to heaven. I can do that. I can do all kinds of things. I hear this, I hear that. I got it. I hear it. It sits on top. Where is it? It's on, the seed's on top of a rock. It ain't going to go anywhere, but it's got enough. It isn't like the road that's busy. No, it just sits there. And it's able to express a little bit of its wonderfulness, the seed. And in the process, as it does that, the rock, the heart, the rock, is excited. People get excited about things. And so some people, when they hear the word, they hear the good news, heaven, God loves you, and you'll never die, and wow, you'll live forever. Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting, and people hear like that. They hear it. That's what we tell them. We tell them the truth, which is an awesome thing. And we take it in. Not everyone, but we take it in, and we like it. It sounds good to us. Do you understand? It sounds good to us. What you're saying, it sounds good. And we, yay, amen. And we memorize a verse. We do these things, and we do them. And we do it, and boy, that's good. That's what I learned today. What you heard today, maybe. Now, having said that, so here's the ground, and it receives the seed with joy. And in the process, verse 21, yet hath the rock, the seed on the rock, hath he not root in himself. In other words, the seed's on top of the rock, trying to live and gonna die. Why? Because there's no way a root from that seed goes into the rock. It goes into the ground, good ground. But the seeds, when they open, seeds go up, seeds go down. That's how they do. Kind of up for the plant, down for the nourishment. Up they go. They do. And they do that. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, there's no root. No. So it can't stay. It can't stay there because it isn't able to stay there. That's what we shared years ago on the different things we do, translations and doctrine and all kinds of stuff. And we knew people that were dispensationalist. That means to take the Bible literally as it is, and take it as it is. And then they changed to some other things. These are professors at school. Professors. And I have some of it still in my file. And they wrote these wonderful things. And then they said, no, that isn't true. And they went off into something else. That's what they did. Now, why would they do that? Because there was no root. No root. They had it all surface. And anyone can do that. Do it. I can put the right verse in the right thing. That's what AI will do for you and stuff. You can go and put the right things in the right place. And you could outline the Bible You could put a concordance and replace the verses listed, and you could do that without ever being saved. You wouldn't have to be saved to do that. You don't have to be saved to do that. So therefore, in the process, there's no root, verse 21, and it endureth, there's no root in himself, but dureth, it only lasts for a little while. And so when tribulation or persecution, when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He doesn't want to bother. Now, if he lets the seed sit on top of the rock, and he lets it sit there, and in the process it isn't going anywhere, it isn't doing anything, but it's there. It's there in the head and heart. Here it is. It's there, but it has no roots. So in the process, carrying the seed is what the world hates. They don't want life in the seed, and they don't want light in the darkness. So as the seed sits there, and the guy doesn't mind a seed sitting on a rock in his life, he doesn't mind that, until what? He gets hit with what? Tribulation, persecution, offense, and all kinds of things. Do you really believe that? Do you really think that? Is that how you feel? And therefore, what happens? Well, I get rid of it. I didn't know I was going to get a reaction from the world. The world doesn't want this. The world doesn't want this sitting on me. It isn't going to go anywhere, but the world doesn't even want it in my life. And so therefore, he is offended. He's gone. He tripped. He's tripped over it. He's going to go, and he's offended in such a way that he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to. It's a bad thing for him. It's a trap. He's trapped. I don't want to be trapped. I don't want to be caught in it. So therefore, in the process, in the stony places, the rock, and the rock is limited, and the seed finds no home and no places no more. And so therefore, the difficulty comes, if we can, in the process, and the world is going to go what? Now. But just in this particular case, let us go and take it in the light of Bible school, in the light of what you're doing. Now, not the first one, I don't think the first one, because we're sitting there purposely to hear. Now, some of us may be sitting there and I'll go right out the window before I get home. But not everyone. We're sitting there to try to get something, hopefully. Now, so therefore, verse 20 and verse 21, and comes the stony places. And we're hearing the word, and we receive it with joy, with joy. This wonderful, wonderful word, God's word. Now, what is God's word? God's word brings us what? God's word, it's your Bible in front of you. God's word is in your Bible in front of you, comes from where? It comes from God, in whose presence we are. The Word, God. The Word, that's you. You're the Word. Uh-huh. You're my Lord. You're the Word. You're in our presence. Oh, that's true. Now, God, here you are, you're the Word, and you've given us the Bible. 1 John, the Gospel of John, 5 and 39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they are they which are all about me. So when you read the Bible, it's my love letter to you, my personal love letter to give you understanding of human history and where you fit in God's eternal one is in God's eternal plan. So, and here's the Word of God. And the Word of God requires what? The Word of God requires us to believe by faith, to trust God, to believe God. That's what we do. What do you mean? John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God. So God, you want us to do that, yes. I want you to believe. I want you to receive me. That's what I want you to do. What do you mean? You want me to do something? No. I want you to open the door. You know, Revelation 3:20. I want you to open the door and let me in. That's what I want. I want to be able to be your Savior in a very personal, wonderful way. Open the door and I'll come in. And so therefore, looking to God and His Word, so we look at God's the Word, and God wants us to receive the Word. When we receive the Word in all of its wonderful, hang on now, let me do a little more. The Gospel of John and chapter 14. The Gospel of John and in chapter 14. And you will note, picking it up if I can, chapter 14, and just adding to that, because I'm going to just think of, if I redid Matthew 13, verse 21, and verse 20 and 21, instead of using the word joy, I use the word peace. Peace. Okay, hang on. Chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world can't give it. It doesn't have it. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that part in mind, sliding over to chapter 15, going to what you do read in Matthew 13, 20 and 21. And when the seed falls on top of the rock, and with joy, he receives the seed. He said, wow, what a wonderful thing. Yeah, wow. And he goes on and says it, all kinds of things about it. It's there, because it's on top of the rock. It isn't no roots, but it's on top of the rock. Now, so therefore, our Lord, chapter 15, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So not only love, peace, love, but, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that my joy might find a home, find a home in your heart, and that your joy might be full. What are you full about? You open the door of your heart, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I come in. What are you going to do when you come in? God, you went from the outside, as it were, to the inside. What happened to it? What did you say in verse 11? That my joy, when we receive Christ as our Savior, you'll receive the joy that God has. Where did you receive it? When did you receive it? When you received God. God brought himself into your heart, and the joy that comes with him. Hang on to that. That's what came with him. Came with him, his joy. And now he says, since I brought myself into your life and my joy, that what's it there for? What are you here for, God? That your joy might be full. That's why I'm there. I brought myself into your life to have an enjoyment of my life in your life. That your joy is what? My joy in your life. Wonderful. Now, are you getting the idea? Now, here's the rock. What are we looking for, whether students or anybody? I want to hear good news. I want to hear something that is beyond earthly things and that brings me into the life and light of God's wonderful presence. So therefore, now, when the seed, it needs roots. Now anointeth the seed, if it finds good ground. If it finds good ground. Now how's it going to find good ground? And then I think of believers that have been believers for a long time, and they read all these things, but it never goes anywhere. So I ask myself, why doesn't it go anywhere? Because my joy I give unto you. And God's joy, well, God is joyous somehow, and God is delighted to be my God, to be our God, here and now. I received him as my Savior. Now God in your heart, in our hearts, is full of joy and is delighted to be who he is. Do you all feel that? Does it tingle in your arm to tell you something? But it's true, isn't it? Why is it true? Because the joy isn't in you. It's in him. Now the danger is we hear good stuff. Joy. We get all excited about it. And then we try to claim it. Do you realize how impossible that is? And when you really try to do it and mean business, you can't go very far, 10 feet, and you're all done. Because you can't do it. You just can't do it. And it never works. And so most of us live 20 more years just like that. We never get it. What's our problem? We're trying to claim something here. God said, his joy should be my joy. Well, my joy, I don't have any joy. Oh boy. Now, back to the seed. When the seed goes in the ground, how much of the ground, make believe this isn't what it is, but make believe this is a tomato plant. So think of tomatoes. Now, I put this in the ground. How much of the ground is going to make it a potato? A tomato or a potato. You got the idea. Either one. How much of the ground? Zero. The whole tomato is coming from this seed. All it needs is good ground. It doesn't come from the ground. The ground feeds it, but it doesn't make the seed. God is the joy. And we're trying to be joyous, trying to find it, when it's already there in his person. And I need to enjoy his person to enjoy his joy. Do you understand? I'm trying to have something when it's his. The seed isn't mine. It's God's word that has to find a home in my heart. And God brings it to me in its fullness. And I don't have to sit there and try to dream up and hope, so I can be joyous in the life. You know, it's my life with pain, headache, everything else I got. I'm living in a world that is having all of its problems. Here we are. But it isn't in that. My joy is in his presence in my heart. That's why I have it. No one can take it. It's mine. It's his. I need to stay in fellowship, or the wonderful, wonderful word, John 15, without me, if you bear much fruit, without me you can do nothing. You have to abide. Abiding does what? The branch just stays attached, and the life of the tree comes into the branch, and the fruit and the leaves come, and it's found in the person of God. And I got little kid, boy and girl, man or woman, you need to understand, God has a wonderful plan, but the plan is in God and in the person of God. And it isn't in you. It's in him. So if you're looking for you to, you go out and tell your mother, tell your father, tell each other. It isn't going to go very far, because it's hard for you to hold it. But you don't hold it. When you receive Christ as your Savior, he is all in all. He is the whole package. He's the other seed. And all the truths are in him. So when you read the wonderful word of God and the wonderful promises, peace, joy, long-suffering, all of it, it's his. And I have it always in him because he's in the believing heart. And as you received him as your Savior, God brought all of these benefits so that it isn't you that has to hide them under your bed or something or under your pillow. What are you doing? You just understand that God brought into your life himself. And he brought in all of this that is perfect, perfect in him. His joy is perfect in you. And he wants you to enjoy him. And thus your joy will be, you'll enjoy his joy, trusting and abiding in him, abiding in him. That's all. There's no trick. And it works. It works. The other system, if I don't understand this, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And here we've got believers all over the place. And in the process, they never get to, they don't get very far. They don't develop. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 3, you are God's cultivated field. And God wants a planting. God wants to look at your field full, full. When you get down the street here to that big field, Byswick Field down there, over down there, and look at all the plants. You don't see any space, just loaded. God says, and Isaiah, Psalms, God said, I want my garden to be full. And I bring to it all the seeds. I bring to it life. And I bring to it light. And I am to it. It isn't me. It isn't you. It's him. And you're trusting him. That's why he said, without faith, one, it's impossible to please me. I didn't ask you to have anything because you don't have it. I asked you to believe that I have it, said God, and that you're going to enjoy it by faith, by believing me. That's what I asked for you to do. I'm just chit-chatting. You got the idea? That's what's missing. You can give good news, and God bless it, tracks. We do them. We give them. How far to go, I don't know. But I know, but for us who give the track, for us who know, when I give you the track, I give you the track. I want to be enjoying the truth that this brings. So I'm giving you this. Read it and believe. Because I am believing and I am an example. You're an example of enjoying God's wonderful life. He's my God and Savior. Not he's my church. He's my God and Savior. Personal. Now, you fight that. You can't. Because it's personal. It's personal. And what I'm giving you is, I'm trying to tell you, it needs to be personal in you. But I want to show you that it isn't some make-believe pie in the sky by and by. No, it's for real. And I need to practice it. That's what's missing. And that's why you can't possess it. Because you hear this stuff. You hear such wonderful truth, I think, at least for little old me it is, truth, to live, super-duper understanding. But you can't go anywhere with it unless you understand how to appropriate it. You abide in the tree. You abide in Christ. You're trusting God to be the source of the whole ball of wax. And it's yours. And I don't have to worry about whether it's going to be mine tomorrow morning or not. It never can be hit. Never. It's always mine. It's just whether I'm going to enjoy it or not enjoy it. That's my problem. Anyway, I've got to quit. You're getting the idea. God's word needs to be received. and believed and how. And then tie that together, I got to quit. Over to Matthew chapter 11. Just turn the page 11, and you know it. I'm just trying to tie it together for myself. What am I, God, what are you saying to me? How did you say that? God said the same thing I've been trying to say, only he said it perfectly. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The word learn, the verb, to bring into your experience. Bring me into your experience. Let me become part of your life. Bring me into your experience. So together, can two walk together except they agree? And as we go down the corridor of time, walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, I get down the corridor. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. That's what it is. And that's how you go. Now, either you're in or not. Otherwise, you're just religious, and we don't. None of you want to be that. I don't want to be either. I hate religious stuff. I always hated it. It's a mess. Then leaves you with nothing, and you have nothing, and then you die. And that's an awful time to find out whether you were saved or not. That's an awful, awful time, because you can't fix a thing, and it's always been there. And that's why God said, you're without excuse. And now you're going to face me, said God. It is a fearful thing, Hebrews 10, to fall into the hands of the living God. It's an awesome thing. And on the other hand, I receive the word with joy. And God wants it all to happen in a wonderful way. So we need to understand with people. You need to believe. I do. You understand? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has found a home in your heart. Or hasn't he? We just did it Sunday. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. If God isn't in you, you're not saved. Simple as that. And if God is in you, man, have you got a lot going for you.